So go to Numbers, the book of Numbers, and also Joshua. We're going to be in, give you some background, Numbers chapter 12. And just to give you some background, then we'll end up in Joshua 14. So if you can find those two places. Numbers 12 and Joshua 14. So I was reading in my personal devotion. I got reading, and it's mainly going to be about Caleb tonight. You remember Joshua and Caleb, they got to go into the land, and the little children as well. But I was just amazed at his greatness, and really the title of the message is Marks of a Great Man, and I'm referring to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. But in Numbers chapter 12, we'll kind of get some of the background. In verse 1, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." You know, people murmur about anything they can find, won't they? If they can dig it up. "And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." Really, they were coming against Moses, but really they were coming against the Lord, weren't they? God's authority. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And of course, they prayed for their sister. And then over in chapter 13, verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Remember, they sent out people to inspy the land, to check it out, like a forward party, if you will. Recon. And verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. You know, you've seen pictures perhaps of them carrying big clusters of grape on a pole, and it was amazing. And nevertheless, verse 28, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. They were giants, folks. Anak there. And Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, verse 30, stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. When the men went up with him, but the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now if you look at chapter 14, verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, because they were murmuring again, back up in verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Let's see here. Let's go on over to chapter 14, and let's look at verse 11. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, I like that right there. When I think of it, I think of the Holy Spirit, right? You know the difference between these evil spirits and another spirit. Well, Caleb had the right spirit, right? With him, and he hath followed me, here's one of the keys, one of the marks, fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So not only is it going to be a blessing to him, but also his children, his seed. Verse 30, chapter 14. Doubtless we shall not come. We're still in the book of Numbers. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Now, if you will, go over to our text in, where am I? Joshua. There you go. Joshua chapter 14, and let's stand. And I want to read verses 5 through 15. Okay. Verse 5. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. They were dividing all the land up. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and the children's for and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day, that day, how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to open your word tonight and hear from you. Lord, I pray that I could say what you say, Lord, and you would bless your word tonight to the ears of all of us from the pulpit to the pew. I pray that we would have more Calebs and Joshuas in our church, and Lord, that we would see that you honor their marks, their characteristics, Lord, their attributes, if you will. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless this time together in the Word. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Marks of a great man. First of all, in verse 8 and 9, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. That word wholly means completely and entirely. It means he was all in with whatever God's man wanted them to do, whatever God wanted them to do. He's 85 now, 85 years old. But you know, just like Caleb was still, God wasn't finished with him. He still had something to do with the for the Lord. We should remember the verse in Psalm 92. Hold your place here and go to Psalm 92, 13 through 15. Maybe there's some senior saints here and you say, well, God's about finished with me. I don't think so, because there's a lot senior saints can do. Amen. In Psalm 92, verses 13 through 15, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in what? Old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Yes, even if you're a senior saint, you can do a lot for the Lord. You can pray, you can give, you can encourage, you can be a testimony and an influence to young people. You can lift up the hands of the weak, and you can stay true to your God. Amen. So there's a lot for you to do. Are you wholly following the Lord? Are you just halfway in? Are you just got one foot on this side and one foot on that side? Remember what Moses said? He said, who's on the Lord's side? Come on, let's get on this side. Or get on or get off. Amen. And so we need to have the same faith and the attitude that Caleb had, because it helped him and helped his children. He was wholly following the Lord. He was sold out completely, entirely. And not only for old people, for young people, middle-aged people, and everybody in between, right? We all need to be wholly following the Lord, and that's where the blessings come. He wanted that mountain, and he was going to get it. He hadn't forgot what God had told him. And if God's told you something, guess what? His promises are true. And the future is as bright as the promises of God. Amen. God can still save people. Look at Gary down here. He said, I want to get saved. You know, God can still save. Look at young people coming to the Lord, being called into the ministry. God can still work in our lives. And so let's be wholly following the Lord. Number two, what was the marks of Caleb? A great man. He was a man of faith. Verse 12 here. Now therefore give me this mountain, something big, right? Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. I mean, the odds were stacked against them. This Anak, he was a big giant, big huge person. His name actually means long neck, okay? And he was huge, and the odds were stacked against them. But you know, when God's on your side, you're the majority, amen? You're not the minority. And so he was a man of faith. You believe God can work in your life and your family's life? Hey, we had a couple people saved Sunday. You believe God can save others? You believe God can turn your families around and people getting on fire and sold out for the Lord? I sure do. Not if there's murmuring going around, but I tell you, churches can go forward and they can be greater than they've ever been. And it's not based on some man, okay? Only God can do it. We have faith in God, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our God, with God, nothing is impossible. So the church can go forward more than ever. People can get saved. People can be brought out of hell and helped. And hey, here's another one. World evangelism, missions can go forward and can go stronger than ever before. You say, with man, with this little church? Yes, God can do a lot of things. Amen. God can do the miraculous. And so I'm thankful that God can work in world evangelism. Man, this place is growing. I tell you, I don't know what it is. Where is all the people coming from? Just the backed up traffic everywhere. The cops everywhere. the raids that are going on everywhere. I told Kathy, they're building down here on El Mirage on the right. They're building again. But it took me an hour to get to church this morning. And it was just like traffic everywhere. And you know what? Rubbernecks. Rubbernecks. What is that, Pastor? There's flashing light over here. And so the traffic backs up 3 miles over here because everybody's looking at the lights or the cops or whatever. And so now I'm thankful for a lot of people. There's multitudes. It's a sea of humanity in Phoenix, folks. But that's a great opportunity because the more people we can reach for the cause of Christ. Amen. And it's nothing like Mexico City. We're getting ready to have a missionary, David Combs, to Mexico City. That's one of the largest cities in the world. Hey, we can be thankful for the people that God gives us. He's put this church here to be a lighthouse, amen? To be a help, to be a hospital, bringing in the folks that need help. So there's a great opportunity in our vineyard here, in our area, in our Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. I'm telling you, we have a great opportunity to reach people and spread the gospel more than ever before. You say, well, we just can't do it, not with ourselves, but we can do it with God. Amen? Why? Because of faith. Nothing's impossible with God. Yes, we can do it for Christ. Caleb was a man wholly surrendered to the Lord. He was a man of faith. And then number 3, he was a man that depended upon the Lord. Look at verse 12b. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. When we get to depending upon ourselves, folks, we're not going to be able to make it, right? But when we have God as our helper, and we have a God that's working with us, our theme for the missions conference is labors together with God. I don't want to labor just with a few here. I want to labor with God, right? I want God working with us. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. We need God working with us. I can't lead Gary to the Lord, but you know what? I can pray for Gary, and other people were praying for Gary, and you know what? God saved Gary and Joshua. His name happened to be Joshua that got saved Sunday morning. So, you know, we have to depend upon the Lord, and that takes humility. Read 12b again. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What's your giant that you're facing? What is your obstacle or something in your life that you just so big you can't see it happening, maybe in your lifetime? Who was it, George Mueller? The great prayer warrior that raised up all those orphanages over in England. I'm telling you what, he prayed for 3 people to get saved, hear this, for 50 years. 3 people. 2 of them got saved before he died, and 1 got saved right after he died. But God did save them. Now you get George Mueller praying for you, you can't get away. Amen. And so I'm so thankful that we have that kind of God that we can depend on. He is almighty, and He's a strong right. He's our force. He's our strong right arm. He's our heavenly Father. He's our everything. So we need to be very, very humble. Yes, this Arba, the father of Enoch, the long neck, he was a giant, but he wasn't too big for Caleb, and he wanted this mountain. He wanted to see it. Now, I've got Deuteronomy. Let's go to this verse, Deuteronomy 1:28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I want to show you another example of somebody that was humble in just a moment. But in Deuteronomy 1:28, whether shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. You know, don't get your eyes on the outward circumstances or the obstacles, if you will. Keep your eyes on heaven. Amen. Keep them on the Lord God, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Go over to Ephesians and we're done. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I read about a man who was a murderer. He drug people out by their hair, drug them out of the churches and put them to death. But yet God saved him, washed him in his blood. And look at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Unto me, look at what Paul said about his own self. 3 verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least. Less than the least. He's not just the least. He's not just the chief of all sinners, he said. But he said, who am the less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's powerful to me. You know, God calls preachers. I spoke to a preacher last night, and he said that God would call a man to preach and allow him to preach the mystery of the gospel. And it's wonderful to be set aside or have that calling, if you will, where God puts you in the ministry. You don't need to put yourself in the ministry. A person who is mama called or papa sent, they'll never make it. You need somebody that God calls, amen. And God will help that person. But Caleb, some of his characteristics, he was bold. One writer said this, he was impetuous. I didn't know what that word meant, actually, impetuous. But this is what it means. It means passionate. He was ready to move. He was ready to take that mountain and to take it quick. He desired a mountain. He rushed in with haste, and he was one of the chief spies. It says he was very courageous. He drove out the giants and was completely devoted to God. He followed faithfully. And you know what the definition of success is? It's not all the outward bells and whistles. How can you stand before God one day and hear these words, well done, thou good and what? Faithful. The definition of success in our life, well, first you have to be saved, right? And now you can go to heaven, Gary, because of what Jesus, you accepting Jesus. But the definition of success is faithfulness. Just continue to be faithful like you are here tonight. Come to church. Be in your word every day. Be on your knees in prayer. Have that faith. You know what it says in, I believe it's Proverbs, honey? Confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. That's a mess. If you got a broken tooth and a foot out of joint, you're in bad pain. You're in a bad way, that's for sure. But you know what? The message, the Word of God, Brother Benny, won't help anybody if they're not here to hear it. And I think you need to be in church, amen? There's a place for the internet, social media, if you're careful, amen? There's good and bad in that, but Jesus knew what He was talking about when He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. As a manner of some is. We need to be together, don't we? And fellowship one with another. And the church is important to the Lord. So the definition of success, folks, like Caleb, what made him a great man, he was faithful to the Lord. He didn't go around murmuring. People start murmuring, you best get around them, but get away from them, because God could strike you. He was very angry at Miriam. Very angry. And had it not been for Moses and Aaron, Brother Jay, God probably would have killed them, according to those scriptures. But Moses begged for his sister, don't kill her, Lord, don't kill her. Don't kill these people. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They were whining and all of that. And God said, well, I won't kill them. So prayer does work. The giants did not cause Caleb to fear. He was a man of courage. They didn't disturb him. Nor the people. They wanted, the scriptures we read, the people wanted to stone them. Wanted to stone them. But you know what? That didn't stop him either. He said, I'm going after that mountain. He brought forth fruit in his old age. And there's a statement, to patient faith, the prize is sure. And so maybe you're in a place tonight, we're all tempted to murmur sometimes and complain. But God is not pleased with that. Let's be like Caleb and Joshua. They made it into the promised land that flowed with milk and honey. And God gave them victory over those giants. Get your eyes off the giants and move them up higher, because God is bigger than any giant in your life. Okay, let's